The apostles had been with Jesus for some time now. They had heard many things. They had seen many things. When you're with somebody like this for, well, day and night, you really get to know them. And they'll really influence you. They'll really change you. I think Jesus was very wise to teach his servants, to teach his disciples that way. He didn't send them off to another country to learn in a school or a college somewhere, but they were with him so they could see him, they could watch him, they could learn from him. That's why Jesus wants us to be in churches after we're saved, that we can see those who are believers, we can watch those who are mature in the faith, that we can learn from them. Or if we've been believers for a time, we can be examples to others. We can show them the way. We can say, this is what Christians do. Come and watch me. Well, the time came now for them to go and practice. Kufani vitu ambavyo wali vi jifunza toka undomo ya matendo ya Yesu. He sent them out, and mstari moja mpaka sita. Aliwatuma kwamba watoki na wahubiri neno pia. The reason why Jesus teaches us, the reason why we have the teaching in the church each week, so that we can also be sent out. We can go. Kumbukeni vitu vya sura ya Iliopita. The light must shine. Why has God lit a light in the lives of his people? So it can shine out. Hakuna mtu ambaye ata light a light in his house and then cover it up, or put it under the table and hide it. But these apostles were with him so that he could then send them out. Now, I went to school, you went to school. Lakini nina fikiri kwamba pana vitu vingi ambavyo tumevisahau. And even we forgot them the day after we left the school, some of them. Church is not like that. We're not studying the Word of God so that we can forget these things. There's no exam at the end of our life and we just write down the answers. We pass the test and then we say, ah, that's okay. Now, these things Jesus gives to us so we practice them, that we do them, that we take the light out into our homes, our factories, our colleges, our places of work. Jesus said in another place, kama baba alinituma, kwa hivyo sasa ninawatuma pia. As he sent me, so now I send you. Jesus is not on the earth in body. There's no place you can go to meet him in the flesh. That was never his plan. He was to rise to the right hand of God and from there to rule the world and to rule the church. But he was to be present in the world by his Spirit in the lives and hearts of his people. Jesus is to preach to the world through the mouths of you and me. Jesus is to love the poor and the needy in the world through the hands of you and me. And now it was time for the apostles to go and to practice the things they had learnt. You and me are the ones to carry forward the kingdom of God. There's no one else but those who love Jesus Christ, if you love him. Baada ya kufufuka toka wafu, Yesu aliyasema maneno haya. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Go. He didn't say, sit and wait for the world to come in. We're not expecting that the world will one day say, ah, let me seek the word of God. But we are to go, to bring it to them, to teach them. Now is the time for the apostles to practice those things. Now the apostles could make many excuses. They could say many things, things that were true. They could say, but I'm just a beginner. I'll still be making Makosa Mingi, Panavitu Vingi Ambavio Sijavi Jifunza. Oh, let me wait. Let me get a bit more experience. Let me learn more, Jesus. Jesus, I'm not perfect yet. And those things were true. Those things will always be true. Peter was still making mistakes after Jesus rose from the dead. Even in the book of Galatians, Paul writes about a time many years later, after Peter had been leader of the apostles for many years, when Peter made a great mistake. And Paul had to stand up and say, "Why are you doing that, Peter? That thing is wrong. You're leading the people the wrong way." And Peter had to repent of the thing he was doing. As long as we are alive, we'll be making mistakes. As long as we're alive, we'll be getting confused. As long as we're alive, there are things we won't understand. But Jesus says, if you know something, share it with others. If you have an afasi ku upa msada, then serve. Uwe umtumishi. We'll always be weak. But the Bible says, when we are weak, he is strong. The Bible says he has chosen to make his great power known in weak vessels. We're not made of silver or gold. We're just made of earth and clay. But God shows his power in weak people. That's why we praise him. Because the power and the strength does not come from us. It comes from him. He gets all the praise because he's the one working in us. When we are weak, then he's strong. So, msiogope. Musa, katika kano ya kali, alisema, all these excuses. He said to God, "Oh, I can't speak. No, I'm weak, or what do I know?" But God said, "I've made your lips." And God says, "I've made your hands, I've made your feet. So I can enable you to use them." Well, their task in verse 1 and 2, well, the main part of it was to preach the kingdom of God. Kui hubiri ufalme ya Mungu. And as they went, they were to perform the signs of the kingdom of God. Kuwaonyeshe watu kwamba ufalme ya Mungu ilikuja. What is the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God is God's rule, where God has his authority in the world, where God is putting things right again, where God is teaching people to obey him and love him and serve him again in his world. When God made the world, he made a servant. He made Adam and he made Eve. He made them to show his glory in the world, to take his glory from the Garden of Eden, their family, to take it over the whole world. But then sin came in and darkness. And God put a curse upon creation. Men, then after that, they went their own ways. They followed their own desires, their own plans. Men did not follow God as king. They did not worship him as king. They did not serve and obey him as king as they should. And everywhere there's darkness and chaos and disorder and trouble. But the kingdom of God is where God is putting things right. And it begins with his rule in the hearts of his people. Where people, well, they take the crown off their own head. They say, "I'm not the king. God, you're the king." They bow before him. They repent. He becomes the Lord of their lives. And their lives start to become ordered again. their lives start to become obedient again to God. And then their lives change, their homes change, their places of work, their places of study, their neighborhoods change as people turn again to obey God. The kingdom of God is God's plan to put the world right again. Now the apostles, they were to preach that this kingdom had come because Jesus had come. Jesus is the king of God's kingdom. Jesus is the one who puts it all right. And Jesus puts it right because he shed his blood on the cross. Because by that blood he paid the price for all the sins of all his people. By that blood he took away the power of Satan over his people. He took away the power of Satan and death. He took away the power of sin to rule in their lives. So he could give them the Spirit. They should become new people. And so that's why they did the signs of the kingdom. As the apostles were driving out demons, as they were driving out sickness, it was a sign that the kingdom had really come. Of course, it was a new thing. It was a thing people hadn't heard. And who were these apostles? Why should you believe them? How can you know that this new message they're preaching is true? So Jesus gave them power and authority to perform signs, so that people could see that this new message really did come from God. Now, preachers today haven't been given power to do these things. The Bible says these were signs of the apostles. It was a way you could know that a man was one of the apostles who was laying that foundation of the church. The new message was true. I don't bring you a new message. I bring you a message now that is well known to the world. I bring a message whose power has been shown in many, many nations as it's changed many, many people. But these signs also, they were a picture of that salvation, a picture of the power of Satan broken, a picture of the curse on creation being overturned and being defeated. Death itself was being defeated. See, their work was in preaching this kingdom, as proclaiming, declaring this kingdom. God's kingdom goes forward by God's word. The kingdom goes forward by preaching. Kini sababu kwanini tunahubiri kila wiki. Kwanini tunakuja hapa na tuna semaku kutumia maneno vitu vya Mungu. Kwa sababu babu Biblia inasema kwamba Roho Mtakatifu anatumia vitu hivi katika mioyo ya watu kuwapa wokovu. It's a work of God in the heart by the word. God wants to show us that his word is more powerful than any other thing. Yes, there are parliaments, there are presidents. They have gold, they have armies, but all those things shall pass away, but the word of God will remain. That's why we preach it. Some people believe the word and their lives change. Have you believed the word? Have you heard the word of the kingdom? Je, unajua sasa kwamba Yesu ni mfalme peke yake, ni Bwana wa ulimwengu yote, na hakuna mwingine, na ata judge the living and the dead. Have you believed that word? Have you turned to him? Je, amekupa moyo ipya? Umefika moyo, umepokea moyo ipya toka mkono ya Yesu kwa amani katika jina lake. He told them also the way to go. He gave them these instructions, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. That don't take anything. Take nothing extra. And no extra stick to take along the way. Don't take a bag. Don't take any food. Don't take any money. Don't take an extra coat. When you find a house where they welcome you, just stay there. Don't go looking for a better house. Don't go looking for better food. Just eat the things that they give you. What's he saying? He's telling them just to trust God as they go. Another time he sent them out to preach and he told them to go prepared to take their things with them. But this time he told them to take nothing, as he wanted them to learn a lesson this time, that God will take care of his servants. You don't need to fear. Mungu, if he's your father, he'll remember you. That even if you have nothing, then he will find a way to take care of you if you're serving him. You don't need to say, oh, it's too hard, it's too difficult. If I give to God's work, I'll have nothing left. If I use my time to reach others, then I'll have no time of my own. God will make sure you have everything you need. But you have to trust him. The disciples couldn't say, oh, well, let me take all those things. Let me fill my bag. And then I'll see if God provides. But if he doesn't provide, then I've still got my bag, so I'm okay. No, God doesn't let us think like that. You've got to trust him first. And then you'll see what he can do. Trust him first with your money. Trust him first with your time. Trust him first with your heart. Then you'll see what he can do. There would be many times later when the apostles faced great danger, great sufferings. The apostle Paul wrote of being without clothes, without food, of being shipwrecked, of being in the ocean for a day and the night. He wrote of being in danger many times. But he also said, God has always provided for my needs through Christ Jesus. When God brought Paul so low, he lift him up again, and the gospel would always go forward. It always will. But trust God, trust God. He's God. You ask, can God do it? Can God really take care of me if I follow him? Just look at what God can do. He made the heavens and the earth. He keeps them by his power. Can God take care of you? Of course he can. God doesn't want his servants to be greedy. He doesn't want them to be fussy. Now, as they went into a house and had a bed there, had some bread there, Jesus didn't want them to go looking for another house. Now, where's a house I can get some meat? Where's a house with a more comfortable bed? No. God says, be content. I've kept you alive in this world. Be content. There's a better world coming one day. But for now, be content when you serve me with the things that you have. The Bible doesn't promise God's servants will have silver and gold in this life. It says they'll have Christ. And in the life to come, they'll have eternal glory. But for now, be content and trust him. Jesus told his disciples to warn the people where they went. Staria tano. Kasababu. Aliwan bia kwamba. Padaku o watu ambayo. They won't welcome you. And there'll be people who will reject you, reject your preaching. Verse 5, he says, warn them. They were to give a sign, to shake the dust off their feet. They were to do it openly, to show that they were disgusted with this town, to show that this town was unclean, to show that they needed to separate themselves from this town because the anger of God would come upon it. God will remember. If you reject God's word, God will remember it. God will send his judgment. It would be easy to reject these apostles. I mean, who were they? They weren't driving the Mercedes-Benz. They weren't wearing the gold chain around their neck. They were just fishermen and poor men, mostly. And those who weren't poor had become poor. They were now depending on others. They'd left their jobs. It'd be easy to reject them and say, who is this? Who do they think they are? They tell us that Jesus is the king. Why should we believe them? Send them away. I don't have time. I'm busy. I already have my own religion. I have my own beliefs. Send them away. Easy to say that. But when you reject God's words, when you reject God's servants preaching God's words, then you reject God himself. If the president sends his secretary here and you spit at him and you insult him and you send him away, who have you rejected? You've rejected the president himself. It's the same with God and his servants. So Jesus said, warn them. To reject the word of God is the worst thing you can do. Jesus didn't say, go and tell the murderers that they're lost. He didn't say, go and tell the adulterers that they're lost. Go and tell the thieves they're going to hell. No, all those sins can be forgiven. But if you reject Jesus and send him away, then there's no other savior. Hakuna mokozi mwingine. Pani Yesu peke yake. If you reject him, then you reject life. And you choose death. Here the time was short. We read in another place, one of the other Gospels, Jesus said, you won't finish going round all the towns in Israel before I come. He was speaking of the cross. He was going to go to the cross and then he was going to rise in glory. He said, you won't be able to make them all ready before I do that. You won't be able to tell them all to believe in me before then. So these places were not going to have many chances. They needed to get ready quickly for his coming in the resurrection and his bringing of the kingdom, taking it out to the nations from that time. You don't know how many times you'll hear the word of God. How many chances you'll get. So believe today. God opens his arms and says, come to me today. Come to me now. Repent of sin and turn to me now. Well, the apostles went out and they preached these things. Verse 6, they set out. They went from village to village, preaching the gospel, healing the people everywhere. And as these things were happening, somebody heard. Verse 7, Herod. Herod the king heard. Now this is not Herod the Great, not the one who tried to kill baby Jesus. Now that one had died. This is his grandson. It's called Herod the Tetrarch. That means ruling over four territories. And he heard of the things that were going on. It says that he was perplexed or worried. Now, nobody went to Herod. Nobody went into his courts to preach, but he heard. When you are faithful, the news will reach places that surprise you. There'll be homes in which they talk about the word of God. You never went there, but they heard. The news was passed on. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, one of his early churches, and he said that your faith and your love and your trust in the Lord Jesus is known everywhere. I don't need to come and find out about you because the news of how you've changed has spread through the whole region. If you serve God in your place with all your heart, you will change people you never meet. You can believe that. Now we saw in chapter 8, verse 3, there was a woman called Joanna, the wife of Chuza. Chuza was the manager of Herod's household. He was one of his chief servants. And this Joanna, his wife, was traveling around with Jesus, listening to him and providing the food and the needs of the disciples. So perhaps the news came through her. Perhaps her husband would tell Herod about what he was hearing, about what Jesus was doing. You know, faithfulness brings the word into surprising places. But this news troubled Herod. Herod had heard very similar preaching before. He had heard the preaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had said that the Messiah is coming. That is, the kingdom is coming. John the Baptist has said, you need to get ready quickly. You need to repent of your sin today. And Herod had not liked that preaching. John, it seems, had preached about Herod, perhaps to him. But he preached and said that Herod needed to repent of his sins. Herod hadn't liked it. As it says in verse 9, he'd beheaded him. Alim kata kichwa. Yes, the news about Jesus, very similar. The preaching of Jesus was very similar. And he didn't like it. Herod had killed John, but he was still hearing the voice of John. The Bible says that God's servants, even when they're dead, they speak. That their words continue. And in the conscience, in the mind of Herod, inside him, he knew the things John said. He knew they were true, but he didn't like them. So he was worried. It's like, I've got rid of this John, but now there's this Jesus, and his servants are preaching all around. I tried to cut off one, now there are many. Unless you obey the word of God, your conscience will always trouble you. You'll always be hearing the voice that speaks to you and says, you did wrong. You should repent. You should turn to God. You'll always be hearing that voice. So why not turn and obey? Then when the voice says you did wrong, you can say, yes, I did wrong. But the blood of Jesus washed away my wrong. Yes, what I did was evil, but Jesus paid the price on the cross. When God punished him on the cross, he took away my sin to the grave and he left it there. And so I can't be accused anymore. I needn't worry of those voices because I have peace with God through the blood of Christ. Well, the reports coming to Herod, many different reports. Some said it was John himself, verse 7, that he had come from the dead. Others, verse 8, said that the prophet Elijah had appeared. Now, the Old Testament said that an Elijah would appear. Now, that Elijah was, in fact, John. He was the prophet out in the desert, calling people to repentance. Other people said it was one of the other prophets who was alive again. Herod, well, it seems he thought it must somehow be John. In another gospel, he says it's John risen from the dead because he was troubled. John, come back to condemn me for my sins. But who do you say that Jesus is? He's much more than a prophet. He's the Son of God who died for our sins. No prophet did those things. Who do you say Jesus is? And do you rejoice to know who he is? Does it trouble you? You say, what if Jesus is real? What if I am going to hell? What if I can't continue in my sins? What if I have to change and become a Christian and be baptized in the name of Jesus? What then? Does it trouble you? Or do you rejoice and say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He's my Savior. He loves me. I love him. Herod wanted to see Jesus, verse 9. Manenu yamwisho. Akajibu kumwana. Pasababu alikuwa akisikia vitu hivi na akataka kujua for himself mwenyewe. But Jesus never came to see him. Is that a surprise? Imagine if the Prime Minister sends a message and says, I want you to come to preach to me. And would you say, I'm not going? But that's what happened. Herod wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus didn't go to see him. He saw him later when he was arrested. Before Jesus was crucified, he met Herod. But even then, he didn't speak to him and he didn't show him any miracle. Jesus didn't come to entertain people who don't want to obey him. He doesn't come to speak to people who have decided to continue in their sins. That's what Herod was. Herod hadn't repented of beheading John. He wasn't going to repent. He wanted to see a sign and a miracle from Jesus that would excite him. He'd say, wow, amazing. Now, Herod was a man who pretended to worship God. He even built up the temple. And he went to worship. But his heart was far from God. And Jesus would not waste his time with such a person. Jesus was with the poor who obeyed the word of God. He was with the nobodies who listened to his word and submitted to it. Kings who had another idea, no, he had no time for them. He came for those who would obey him. But do you obey Jesus? Have you repented and trusted in him? Have you committed your life to him and joined with his people? In this passage, there are some poor men who are very happy because they were walking in the way of God. And there was a rich king who was troubled and worried because he wouldn't repent. The difference was the word of God. The difference was that one was a king in the world, but the others were kings in the kingdom of Christ, which is far better. What about you?